It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, what's up, Atlanta? No, do not adjust your dial. I am back with you on a Sunday as John Fricky, tweets and all, is enjoying a vacation. If anybody out there knows what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. If you know, you know. If not, I'm not going to repeat the joke on the air. So unfortunately, your time to enjoy that moment has come and gone. But I will be hanging out with you in his stead until 1 o'clock this afternoon when our buddy Abe Gordon will take over. Then we're doing a little switcheroo. Yesterday, he got to bat first and I took over for him. And now today it is a little Oppo Taco as I will be leading off and he will be coming in batting cleanup. All right. E is producing with me once again. Eric Slaughter, producer extraordinaire. Yesterday, you got my brain working a little bit. You asked me to hold up all the fingers on one of my hands, right? And what did that represent? That represented how many games back your Bravos are in the NL East. Well, even though they lost yesterday, so did the Phillies. So waking up again this morning, put up the 5. Still 5 back in the NL East.
Yep.
So now here's the question.
All right.
Did AA miss by not getting a pitcher, starting pitcher specifically, because, wait a second, hold on, this division is now fully up for grabs, my friend. So that's what I want to know. So I'm going to open up the phones right away. We got a couple of segments, as usual. Got a guest coming up at 10:40. Miles Garrett's going to join from Fox 5. And this is what I want to know. Now that the division is within real grasp, did AA and the staff, it's not just him, it's, you know, it's got to be approved by everybody, make a mistake by not getting a starting pitcher? Or do you feel like Spencer Schwellenbach, Bryce Elder, Smith Shawver, et al. Can hold down the fort for that last rotation spot and half covering for Charlie as well because he's been so hit and miss this season? Or do you feel like they should have gotten a guy? Now, in my opinion, I think you guys know where I'm going to fall on this. I think they should have gotten somebody because what have we been harping on for 2 years now? E, I'll ask you, what was the reason the Atlanta Braves lost to the Phillies the past 2 years in the playoffs?
The biggest reason is that the bats go quiet in October, but the Phillies just outplayed them pitching, batting, fielding, everything. So, but it was really the bats. The bats, you led Major League Baseball in runs and runs per game. And then you get in the postseason, pitching wins. They couldn't hit the ball out the park, couldn't get a single. We go home early.
Correct. Now, how do you counter that?
Good pitching versus good pitching. Ace yes. versus ace, two versus two.
Correct.
Yeah.
Now, what happens if you need that fifth starter? Yeah.
3 days rest.
Yeah, exactly. And we've seen how that's gone before. So that's why I just think, and let's not, you know, kid ourselves here, ladies and gentlemen. The stretch run is going to be really, really important, too, because Max Fried's just getting back. Is he going to have a pitch count? Ronaldo Lopez still isn't back. So when he comes back, is he going to have a pitch count? So we're going to be counting on Schwellenbach, Smith Shawver, Bryce Elder, all these guys that haven't really done it yet. I mean, let's be honest. That's the problem. And that's what we ran into the last couple of years. You're counting on guys without big playoff experience to guide you down the – guys, it was this – you could almost – I wish I would have done this almost. pulled the show from this time last year where we were talking about this exact same thing, and I was hammering down the point that if it's NLCS Game 4 and Bryce Elder starting for you after having the awful second half that he's had, how do you feel about that? The answer, not good, Bob, not good. And that's a problem. So 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. Got a couple of segments to take your calls. Before we get to them, I do want you to hear what AA had to say. He joined the Steakhouse this week, and they asked him point blank, how close were you to getting a starter?
I don't know. You know what? It's tough because even in trades, even with this deal that we made with the Giants, like, there's right until deals are done at the end. I've had deals blow up on me. I don't feel like they're not done until they're done, right? We had a lot of conversations, but the tricky part for us was the way our rotation set up with Lopez looking like he's going to be fine and Max same way, and they're going to be back soon here. You know, we ultimately, the only guy that we have options on that we'd send down, not that we want to, would be Schwalenbach. And that's not to say we wouldn't have found a way to come up with maybe a six-man rotation or something like that. But, you know, we weren't going to go get, like you said, we weren't going to get a back of the rotation guy or anything like that at all. So it was someone who was really, you know, an impact starter,
yep,
a Chris Sale type, a guy that could go, you know, start
playoff
one,
games.
Two games of playoff game. Yeah. So we were going to, if those guys were available, we were definitely going to have conversations that we had conversations on those guys. And you know, hard to characterize close or not. I mean, we just had discussions. You know, one got moved to Flaherty. He's definitely pitched like a top of the rotation guy. And the other guys that were rumored to be out there didn't get moved. So we were in on it. We talked about everything. I mean, I think like anybody, you know, the one thing about those frontline starters, you make room for those guys, right? So all 29 clubs would take those guys. You know, if there's a great third baseman out there, we're all set with Riley. If there's a great starter out there, a great reliever, you could find a way to make room on your staff. But it's a little more challenging. It would have been challenging for us. We probably would have just found a way to get to September when the rosters expand by one.
Okay. That was a minute and a half of word soup, which we know that AA is really good at giving us, and he's also really damn good at his job. So I believe him when he says that they, you know, tested the waters. Didn't sound like they dove too deep, though. Didn't sound like they were in a position where they were really putting their best foot forward and saying, all right, you want Hurston Waldrip? He's available. You want Smith Shawver? He's available. That's what it sounded like to me. That's how I interpret it. So doesn't sound like they were particularly close in landing the starting pitcher. But what say you? 404-726-0929. Again, the question is, did the Braves make a mistake now that they're right in the thick of the NL East and a playoff battle to once again potentially going into the playoffs? Because you don't know what Lopez is going to be when he comes back, and we'll see what Fried gives us today. Is this rotation going to be good enough, or should they have added another arm? Did they make a mistake? Let's start with Mark in the A. Mark, you're in the game.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Thanks for having me on.
Yep.
I think they made a good move by not getting a pitcher because starting pitchers in the playoffs, all of them get tapped up to some point. And the first problem from the playoffs last year has been timely hitting all the way to this point. Now, we're getting that uncorked now. And adding to it, to me, sets the Braves up really nicely.
No, I agree, and thanks for the phone call about the hitting aspect of it, Soler coming back and everybody else. But at the same time, I just asked E, okay, so if the Braves know from the last 2 years, and guys, it's the same three guys. It's Wheeler, it's Nola, and it's Ranger Suarez, who turns into Randy Johnson when he pitches against the Braves. Those are the guys you're going to be going against again, and they've shut you down for 2 years in a row. So how do you counter that? If you think the bats are going to be suspect, well, you better pitch your ass off. And I'm sorry, but right now, a questionable Max Fried, questionable Reynaldo Lopez, and Chris Sale is great, but is it what it was a month and a half ago, 2 months ago? I don't know. It just depends on what we see. Max Fried could come back, and if he's Max, then we're great. But if he comes back and this thing was a bigger deal than we thought it was and he's struggling a little bit, I don't know. I don't know. I just think when you look at it, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me, right? That's what the Braves are looking at right now. If they face a good team in the playoffs with good starting pitching, this lineup, which is an all-or-nothing lineup, meaning basically home run or bust, not a lot of contact hitters in this lineup, if they can be shut down, then, you know, you're screwed again. And with AA watching and knowing what's happened the last couple of years and having two of your three best arms on the IL at the time of the deadline approaching, I don't know, man. I just think there should have been a little more. So what say you? Again, the number is 404-726-0929 to jump in. Did the Atlanta Braves make a mistake by not adding another solid rotation arm at the trade deadline? Because now you're not – Brian Snicker, it's funny, Fricky, who usually is in this spot, has been making fun of Snit for like 2 months now because Snit came out and said, no, we're still trying to win the division. Well, don't look now. Again, E, hold up the fingers. Five fingers in the air. Five games back. That's what the Atlanta Braves are right now. So when you get down to it, you're in a really, really good position. But are you in the best position possible? And that's where I continue to be frustrated with the Braves sometimes. Because it's like they put one foot in, but they don't dive head first and make sure that they are a World Series competitive team at the end of the day. And I'm just not sure with the state of the rotation right now, although Schwellenbach is pitching well, and I get that. But again, he's a rook. He's not like you put him in an NLDS or an NLCS. Is he going to meet the moment or is he going to crumble? Bryce Elder, he crumbled. You watched it happen last year. So that to me is the frustrating part. Like you already have seen these things play out in front of you as an organization. So why are you letting, you know, the definition of insanity, I always joke around with Oren when I host the night show, is doing the same thing over and over again, but expecting a different outcome. And right now, the Braves are kind of doing the same thing over and over again for the third straight trading deadline and expecting a different outcome. The past couple of years, it was bringing in an Odorizzi or a Chirinos, and that didn't work. So this year, but instead of bringing in a stud, they said, well, we'll just roll with what we got. But what we got is not whole right now. Max Fried and Ronaldo Lopez have not pitched in a little while now. And when they come back, we don't know if they're going to be themselves. So that's my concern with it, is the opportunity was there. Yes, I get it. A bunch of frontline starters weren't available. There were one or two, and you could have made a move for them. We saw Flaherty go. Eric Fetty's like a number two, number three type of guy. He was available. But the Braves decided to roll with what they got. And I'm just concerned about what's going to happen potentially for a third straight postseason. That's a little scary to me. So what say you? We'll take your calls when we get back. Line them up. What do you think? Am I right to be concerned about the Braves and their starting rotation? Should they have added another arm? Or do you think having Lopez back, Fried back, and with the rise of Schwellenbach, that's going to be enough in a playoff series? Your call's next, 404-726-0929. Chris Thomas, Turtle with you on a Sunday morning. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, and of course, on the Odyssey app.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We've seen it the last two postseasons, right? For the Atlanta Braves, bats go ice, ice, cold. How do you counter that? You got to have not good, but great starting pitching. And that's what the Philadelphia Phillies have thrown at the Braves the last two postseasons. And if they match up again, guess what? They're doing it again because they got the same guys. They got Wheeler, they got Nola, and they got Ranger Suarez, who, again, I always make the joke, he looks like Randy Johnson when he pitches against the Braves. So today the Braves reinstated Max Fried from the injured list, and they optioned Dylan Lee. And Mark Bowman, who covers the Braves for MLB.com, said they optioned Dylan Lee to create a spot for Fried. Why? Because Dylan Lee's the only one with options. So that goes to show you that the bullpen is strong and it's full of a bunch of veteran guys who hopefully can get the job done, not like Pierce Johnson did last night as the Braves lose 4-3. But again, it doesn't matter. Why? Throw up the fives, five games back in the NL East. So did the Braves, the Atlanta Braves, your Atlanta Braves, do enough at the trade deadline, a.k.a. not getting a starting pitcher, to make a real run at this thing? Because, again, as I laid out in the first segment, I have a lot of questions now because Max Fried is going to start today. So it's August, what, 4th? So he has, you know, probably, what, three starts this month and then four. He probably has about seven or eight starts left in the season to find it and be in, you know, ace form before the playoffs start. Same thing for Ronaldo Lopez, although he's not back yet, but it looks like he's going to avoid an IL stint. So when you look at it, he's going to have less than that to get back into playoff form. Now, both of those guys, if they didn't get hurt, I probably wouldn't even be making this argument today, because if they were rolling like they were and you have Sale, Lopez, and Fried, that could be good enough with, you know, maybe a spot start from a Charlie Morton here or a Schwellenbach there. But with those guys not being healthy right now, I just think you can't take the chance, right? You can't take the chance of, you know, being short again in your rotation for the third straight postseason in a row. And now every game is so damn important because you're trying to catch Philly. Because Philly's playing like crap. Bryce Harper was in a 1-for-30 slump. They've been playing terrible. They're 2-8 in their last 10 games. That's not going to get it done. The Braves are not. They're winning. They're winning series. We'll see if they can finish it today. E, let me ask you. What do you think about what I'm saying? Do you believe that the Atlanta Braves made a mistake by not getting a starting pitcher?
I'm going to say they didn't make a mistake. I'm going to say that they probably tried the best they could, did the, you know, their due diligence, and realized we're better off staying what we have than bringing in something that we don't believe in. So we want health and return to form. If the guys return to the form that they were in May and June, we have a top three that can compete with those three guys from Philly. Sale has been in, you know, Cy Young form.
Yep.
Lopez led Major League Baseball, or maybe still leads Major League Baseball. His innings may fall short in runs per game. And Max Fried can be Max Fried. So let's let the guys that we have, hopefully, do what they do. And then we find a fourth guy. We don't necessarily need that fifth guy in the playoffs all the time. Go
no,
with those three. And give me a four, whoever's the hottest guy.
What's the key word you just said there, though? If.
Oh, yeah. It's always.
If.
Always.
Yes, if, always. Man. And that's what I'm talking about here. So give me a call, 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Do you agree with me that, are you concerned that the Braves did not address starting pitching in the trade deadline? Because now you're in a situation, again, the key word being if, or do you feel like, no, they'll be fine. Fried will be Fried. Ronaldo Lopez will be Lopez. Sale will be Sale, and that'll be plenty good enough. I'm just not sure. I just don't know if that's a good strategy based off of what's happened in the last 2 years. If the last 2 years went differently and every game was, you know, 9-8 or 1-0, that's fine. Then I think you could be a little bit more open to the strategy. But every game last year was like 5-4 or 3-2. There might have been like one exception. But if you go look at the scores from the last 2 years against the Phillies, they were all pretty close. So if you're going to be in close games again, you better have pitchers that can go out there and keep you in it. And right now, you don't know, again, what Max Fried is coming back and what Lopez is coming back. And remember this too, guys. Excuse me. Reynaldo Lopez has never done this before, right? This is his first season where he's, you know, really being counted on. He was a starter, then he was a reliever. Now he's a starter again. But make no mistake about it, he is being counted on in a way that he has never been counted on before. So not only are the innings going to be a concern when he gets back, not only is the health going to be a concern when he gets back, but the reliability is going to be a concern when he gets back. Every game he pitches now for the Braves for the rest of the season is the biggest game of his career going forward. So you're counting on him to continue what he's been doing all season, but now with the pressure ratcheted up 10,000-fold. Because he needs to win. They need to win the overwhelming majority of his starts for the rest of the season, however many are left. Like, you can't waste a Fried start. You can't waste a Lopez start. You certainly can't waste a Sale start. And unfortunately, there's been a couple of those this season. One guy they did bring back, Jorge Soler. Double A was talking about that because I know he hasn't done much. He had one big hit the other night. He hasn't done a ton since he's come back, but even just reorganizing the lineup the way that they did, I think is a big help. So although they didn't make any moves pitching, Jorge Soler is back, and Double A shared his thoughts on why.
You know, in 2022, we tried to get him at the trade deadline. We had a lot of conversations with Miami. We pushed really hard on it, and ultimately it fell apart. We moved to Raisel Iglesias. And then even that winter, we again talked to Miami about him. And, you know, we couldn't get the deal across the finish line at that point. Obviously, he had a tremendous 2023, I think 36 home runs and unbelievable year in a big ballpark. And this winter, he wasn't a fit for us with the way our roster was set up. And look, we came off, obviously, everyone knows, a historic offensive season. And the number one priority for us was trying to address the rotation, which was where we spent all of our time, really, during the winter. But then during the season again, we talked to them and we approached the Giants on him and we pursued him. So, you know, it's hard to find one power bat,
yep,
two power bats that have on base skills, that draw walks, that work the count. There's plenty of guys that go up there and can swing for the fences and hit home runs, but their chase rates and everything are high. This guy can draw a walk and really grind an at bat. And then the last piece is he's a tremendous fit from a clubhouse standpoint. He's A-plus guy, A-plus human being across the board. I just think this is a guy that has real value to us and even across the league. And we thought he played a very solid right field for us when we had him. He played a very solid left field for Miami in 2022. I think playing on the turf full-time for him was a little challenging. But with the way we position our outfielders and so on, he takes good routes. He throws well.
Yeah.
His speed is pretty much the same as it was back when we had him.
All right. That's awesome, and I'm glad he's back. And he had a big hit the other night. But to make that your big move, again, I'm not sold on the pitching right now. And I need to be because of what's happened in the past couple of years. Now I'm getting hit up on the text line at 404-726-0929. If you can't get to a phone, feel free to text in. Again, 404-726-0929. Or hit me up on Twitter. At C Thomas Radio, I'll follow you back and we can chat about all things Atlanta sports. This is funny what I'm getting on the text line right now. You should have just had Fricky on the air today, because if you're just going to talk about pitching, it's hitting that wins championships. Okay, guy or gal, whoever you are texting in right now. Again, do you realize what had happened the last two postseasons? The Braves' bats got shut the blank down. So you need to be able to counter that, because this lineup does one thing. And the reason the offense has stunk this year is because they stopped doing the one thing, which is hitting the ball out of the ballpark. They hit 300 home runs last year. They're going to hit half of that this year. So if that's the case, how are you winning games? Starting pitching.
You know, to that texter, the two terms or the two phrases that come to mind, which are time and time proven, good pitching stops good hitting.
Correct.
That's the truest words that baseball gods have ever sent to us.
Especially in the postseason.
Especially in the postseason.
There's a reason Madison Bumgarner is known as a baseball god.
Mm-hmm.
Not because of what he did in the regular season. Because in the postseason, he was unhittable.
Well, I'm going to go all the way back to 1995, for a long time was the one World Series that this town could put his hat on. Tom Glavine was unhittable. He was the World Series MVP, and the game-clinching game was 1-0. Good pitching stops good hitting.
Exactly. And then on top of that, you compound that by saying, hey, listen, our bats have been ice cold until about a week ago. Ice cold. I mean, anemic. Whatever phrase or adjective you want to use. The Braves couldn't hit to save their life. Everybody's struggling. Kelnick had a nice run. He's back to being ice cold again. Guys, it's all over the lineup. Duvall can't be a starting right fielder. He's batting 185. I mean, you got to look at the situation for what it is. I know it's tempting to just say, oh, you know, look, the hitting's going to come back to life. Okay, but look what happened in the past two playoff series. You need to go blow for blow with those starting pitchers. And when you have your two main horses, or two out of your three, banged up at the time of the trade deadline, and I know neither one of them are serious injuries, but again, you're just taking a gamble that, in my opinion, is unnecessary because there are moves out there that could have been made. A guy like Eric Fetty is not going to break the bank for you, ladies and gentlemen. It's not as complicated as everybody's making it seem. Again, on the text line, oh, they don't have any players to trade or money. Yeah, maybe for Tarek Skubal or Flaherty that went to the Dodgers, but they could have gotten one of the middle-level guys, not a Chirinos-level guy. There's three levels. There's a one or a two, there's a three or a four, and then there's a five. Those are the levels of rotation guys in baseball. Or if you want to go ace, two, three, four, five, whatever order you want to put them in. There was a couple of 2-3 guys that were out there that the Braves could have gotten. All right, let's squeeze in one call before we go to break. Kenny is on. You're in the game. What do you think?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. Yes, I thought they could have gotten Snell. I thought that would have been a good addition and wouldn't have had to give a whole lot for him. And then the other next choice would have been Flaherty, like y'all were talking about. But the good news is we will get Mike, the center fielder, back. That's going to help. And we will get the second baseman, Albies, back. So that's going to take care of two weak places in the lineup as far as hit goes.
Yeah, Kenny, appreciate the call. Sorry to break it to you, Kenny. Both of those guys were not having good seasons before they got hurt. So, again, if it's so funny. I was doing this exact show a year ago, man. It's so funny how it always works out this way. I just feel like the Braves could have made a move again this year, and they just didn't. For a starter that they could really use right now, with question marks about Lopez, his innings, his health, Fried's just getting back. How many pitches is he going to be able to go? What's he going to look like? I just think it's not that cut and dry, people, but we shall see. I was wrong about Sale. Hopefully I'm wrong about this too. And, you know, they cruise into the playoffs and keep that five up, baby. Hopefully we make it four by this time tomorrow. All right, coming up next, we're going to switch gears, talk some Falcons. They had an open practice the other day. They're going to Miami this week. Big week for the Atlanta Falcons. We'll be there tomorrow at Flowery Branch as well. Back in five, Sports Radio, 93.9 The Game, Odyssey app. Big, huge week coming up for the Atlanta Falcons as they will head to Miami. And might be some murky territory down there, man, with some big storms expected to go through the Floridian area. But I know our next guest will brave the elements, as he always does. Let's welcome in on the WadeFord.com hotline our good buddy Miles Garrett from Fox 5. Miles, appreciate the time as always.
Absolutely. Good morning, Chris. How we doing?
Yeah, doing well. Let's start with, and I was joking around with our good buddy Joe Patrick about this yesterday, the open practice at Mercedes-Benz. I want your biggest takeaways because they had us in an awesome area in the Maybach suites, but once practice started, that's where all the linemen were lined up, so I literally couldn't see anything. So I need you to be my eyes for what your biggest takeaways were at the practice.
Well, unfortunately, I actually wasn't at that practice, but we did have a pretty big contingency from our team there. And after, you know, dissecting the video, looking at some stuff, it was, for the most part, a lot of stuff that we have seen from Flowery Branch, with the exception of maybe a couple of hits here and there. But look, I mean, the fans got to see some of the stuff that we've been seeing, and that being Kirk Cousins, Michael Penix Jr., a lot of those touch passes, obviously the new toys that we're dealing with here on this Falcons offense. And really, I think that was the biggest takeaway for fans, at least, who may be unfamiliar with that. Because, I mean, you look at training camp last year, we were dealing with the Desmond Ridder, Taylor Heinicke training camp. This year, drastically different. And I think that really has been the most noticeable thing, Chris. I think you're able to see the difference in, you know, the passes that these receivers are dealing with, whether that's Drake London or Kyle Pitts. Kirk Cousins specifically is able to get these guys the ball, and that's really the whole reason we went after these guys in the offseason, right, is to utilize all these talents you have on the offense, get them the ball, get them to make plays. And, you know, you see a couple of good hits here and there. I think Drake London may have gotten in the face of DeMarco Helms on one play to when it may have been Darnell Mooney. I wasn't quite sure who it was, but he got popped a little bit there in the middle of the field. So it was good to see some pads hitting each other. I haven't seen that quite yet, but I think it's good to see. I think the defense still has a little bit of question marks for the fans and the media alike once we see it in action, but big takeaway, I think the offense is looking good, and that's something that we haven't seen in a couple seasons.
Well, you just mentioned the defense and the test that they're going to have this week as the contingency heads down to Miami. What do you think are going to be the biggest matchups you're looking for when the Atlanta Falcon 1 defense goes against the Miami Dolphin 1 offense?
Well, I think the big thing is we're not quite sure who's going to play and who isn't. I think that's going to be the big thing. You know, you may not see your ones versus ones. I think that we may or less see that more on the practice field rather than the actual game. But I really want to see the test this secondary gives the Miami's ones. We know, obviously, how good Miami's offense can be here with guys like Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, this Mike McDaniel offense. I want to see what the cornerback twos can do, whether that's Mike Hughes, Clark Phillips, guys who I think you could put a big question mark on right now as far as the secondary depth pieces right now. Richie Grant, DeMarco Helms, I think outside of Jesse Bates and A.J. Terrell, there's a lot of uncertainty what this secondary can do here. I think you feel pretty good about your linebacking core, and obviously you get Grady Jarrett, David Onyemata back on that defensive line, Ruka Roro getting some good depth pieces there. But I think the secondary is where I think I want to see the most, I guess, reps, you're going to call it that, against Miami's ones, because that is a very solid test against these guys. Obviously, you want to see what Jimmy Lake is bringing to the table with this new defense, kind of transitioning from Ryan Nielsen's scheme last year. But for me, Chris, I think it's going to be a big secondary overwatch, from my opinion, or from my perspective out there on the practice field.
Talking with our buddy Miles Garrett from Fox 5 Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Thomas with you until 1 o'clock. Kyle Pitts, what have you seen from him so far? I know the stuff that I've gotten to see firsthand, he looks good, he looks fast, he looks like he's ready to go, making plays. Do you feel like he's going to have that breakout season?
Yeah, to me, I think he's had the best camp out of anyone, really. And I tweeted that the other day. I think a lot of Falcons fans were like, oh, you know, here we go again. I know the fantasy football folks are like, oh, man, we're not going to get tricked into taking Kyle Pitts another time here in the early rounds. But look, I mean, there's a big difference between the Kyle Pitts we've seen the last few years. Obviously, last season he was coming back from a knee injury, and I think it was very visible on the practice field and even in games throughout the season that he was not 100%. And comparing it to that camp last year and then maybe the year before that, dealing with quarterback play, that's obviously another factor. And then his rookie camp when he's still learning the ropes. I think this is the camp that I've seen at least from Kyle Pitts, and I've seen every single one of them so far, is that he looks like he's not thinking as much anymore, especially comparing it to that rookie season where he was at his most healthy and dealing with pretty consistent and decent quarterback play with Matt. I'm starting to see that again just now with that pop and not really thinking about it. I think he looks like he knows where he needs to be. He's operating with that speed and that ability that he was drafted for, frankly. And, you know, obviously dealing with guys like Kirk Cousins, Michael Penix, guys that are brought in to get him the ball along with Drake London. It looks like he's had the best camp so far. There was a really good rep at the practice field just a few days ago where he made a great catch over Jesse Bates, and Raheem Morris went over to him and said, let him know that Madden rating, Kyle. Thank you, Matt. You know, Jesse Bates might be one of the top-rated safeties in the game, and Kyle beat him on the rep there. So really excited to see what he can do in game reps, obviously with Kirk Cousins. And, yeah, I mean, he's been the guy that's really impressed me the most in this camp so far.
Another guy we've seen a large workload from is Bijan Robinson, and Raheem Morris talked about how much he should be used this season earlier before camp got underway. How do you expect them to balance between, you know, the great option that is Bijan out of the backfield versus now having a quarterback that really can push it down the field?
Yeah, I mean, it was the question we had all asked last offseason, right? I mean, it was a luxury pick, you'd think, at the time when you had Tyler Allgeier in that offense who came off a pretty good year. But, you know, we spoke to Zach Robinson a few times earlier this offseason. I think I said it on this show as well. They want to use him in the method that Christian McCaffrey was used, meaning having him all over the field, whether that's out wide, behind the quarterback, obviously, you know, split out next to the quarterback in shotgun. He is all over the field, a lot of motions that they're running. We spoke to Taylor Heinicke, and he talked about how this offense will look different. He mentioned that specifically, kind of the motion sets in Zach Robinson's offense. And I think that'll be a lot different, obviously, than what we saw in Arthur Smith's scheme to get the running backs involved. I know his scheme was heavily involved in the running backs. But Bijan Robinson, we know the kind of talent he is. We said it before. You know, we talk about last year's draft. This was 20 years ago. This is a guy that probably would have been in the conversation to go number one overall, given the nature of the position and how it's changed. But I do expect to see a heavy workload out of him. And again, I know we talk about Bijan. Do not forget about Tyler Allgeier. I think this is a guy they're going to involve heavily as well. I've seen a lot of reps kind of splitting ones with him. But I think it's just going to be an offense, Chris, where they're going to just try to utilize as many playmakers as they can. And I know we said that last year with Arthur Smith and his scheme, but I do think there was an element of quarterback play that kind of held that back.
One thing we haven't seen a lot of is special teams work, specifically the kickoff drill. We saw it on the first day of practice. I can't recall seeing it being worked on another time since. So what type of emphasis do you feel like the team is putting on? Again, I was talking with Joe Patrick yesterday. He said he probably feels like it's something they're doing more behind the scenes. Do you agree with that sentiment?
Yeah, no, we asked them that this week as well, Raheem Morris and some of the other players too. It almost seems like sort of a, okay, like we've done it. We've maybe done some reps and we know who the kick returners are and Ray McLeod, Avery Williams, those guys. But until we see it in action, I think these guys feel the same way. It's all new for them. You know, they've never done this in college. They've never done this in the NFL. I know they've done it in the UFL. I might be wrong there with the UFL, XFL. I'm not quite sure where they were taking it from. I know it was one of those. But, you know, as we saw in the Hall of Fame game, that was the first time any of us and any of the players saw it themselves and got to act it out. So, I think it's going to be one of those, you know, they don't really know for sure until we actually get some reps. I'm going to be excited to see how they do it in the preseason, see how it actually works. I'm just excited to see kick returns return again, you know, because it's with the kickoff rules and having the ball go out of bounds, we haven't really seen it. It's kind of become a lost art. So I'm excited to see that element of the game return and maybe see a new aspect of the game. But, no, we talked about, you know, kind of getting guys involved because, look, in the preseason is when a lot of these late draft picks get their reps and are able to make a name for themselves. So it's going to be very different for them as well. You know, it's going to be a lot more different from how they usually are able to make their impact on the team, on special teams. So going to be huge for them and excited to see how it plays out.
A guy that I'm calling my sleeper pick to make the roster and actually have an impact is sixth-round pick Casey Washington, the wide receiver out of Illinois. I thought he's had a really good camp so far. He's big. He's physical. He looks the part. He catches every ball that's thrown his way. Who's a guy that you might view as a sleeper for yourself?
Well, it's hard to call a sleeper because Casey Washington, obviously being, you know, one of the late-round guys, you know, that's an easy one to call a sleeper. I'd love to call a guy like Braylon Trice or, you know, Ruka Rovaro, guys, sleepers, but, you know, they were drafted higher for a reason. I really like Jace McClellan, the running back. I know they're very deep, and we've talked about this running back room and, you know, Bijan and Tyler. But, look, this guy made an impact at Alabama for a reason. You know, we've done a couple of questions with Zach Robinson, Raheem Morris, as far as what their impact can be. Kirk Cousins also mentioned the impact that Jace can bring to this offense. I'm excited to see what he can do. I mean, you can never have enough running backs and the substitution packages that you're going to do I'd really like to see what he can bring to this offense as a whole because, look, like I said, you know, you're going to have substitutions. You're going to have guys make a name for themselves. I think he's going to get a lot of reps in the preseason especially.
Before I let you go, a couple of quick Braves notes here. They're only five back, Miles, and this thing's getting really interesting. What are your thoughts on the last, you know, the home stretch here for the Braves? Is this smoke and mirrors, or do you feel like finally guys like Arcia, Riley, and Olsen are turning it around?
Man, really missed an opportunity to make that four games last night. It was a real close one there.
Yeah.
But, no, I mean, it's something that, again, I've said this on a couple of radio shows, whether that was with you or some other ones too. Baseball is such a long season, Chris. You know, these guys are going to get streaky. These guys are going to get cold. You know, I heard your last segment, you know, Jared Kelenic, he's cold right now. He was hot earlier. It's the ebbs and flows of the game. Now, will this become consistent? I don't know. It's the big question mark because now you got to bring pitching into the equation. That was your consistent thing you were leaning on for a while, but all of a sudden, Reynaldo Lopez, Max Fried have some big question marks behind them. But now you've got guys like you just said, Orlando Arcia, Matt Olson, Austin Riley suddenly raking like we're used to seeing them do. I don't think there's anyone hotter right now than Orlando Arcia. They seem to have turned a corner right now. I think that come from behind victory, I believe it was Friday night. I'm getting some of these games confused now, but I think it was Friday night when they came from behind and beat the Marlins. That game itself sort of felt like that retro Braves of last year, or the last few years that we've seen, because we haven't really seen that this year. When they're down, they seem to kind of just let them go. That game was huge for them, getting Marcelo Zuna, Orlando Arcia, basically the usual suspects to hit like we've used to seeing them hit. I'm hoping this is the start of something that they're able to rattle some things off and take advantage of Philadelphia being maybe a little bit colder than they usually are. But like you said, it's all about how you finish and how you enter the playoffs. And as we've seen from the last couple of seasons, it doesn't matter how dominant you are in the regular season, that means nothing when the playoffs start.
All right, last one before I let you go as we're wrapping up with Miles Garrett. Make sure you check out his work on Fox 5 covering the Falcons this preseason. Did you like the move of bringing the band back together? Do you think AA could reach into that bag of magic one more time?
Yeah, I mean, I can't say I didn't expect it. I think if Alex Anthopoulos has
big, huge week coming up for the Atlanta Falcons as they will head to Miami. And might be some murky territory down there, man, with some big storms expected to go through the Floridian area. But I know our next guest will brave the elements, as he always does. Let's welcome in on the WadeFord.com hotline our good buddy Miles Garrett from Fox 5. Miles, appreciate the time as always.
Absolutely. Good morning, Chris. How we doing?
Yeah, doing well. Let's start with, and I was joking around with our good buddy Joe Patrick about this yesterday, the open practice at Mercedes-Benz. I want your biggest takeaways because they had us in an awesome area in the Maybach Suites, but once practice started, that's where all the linemen were lined up, so I literally couldn't see anything. So I need you to be my eyes for what your biggest takeaways were at the practice.
Well, unfortunately, I actually wasn't at that practice, but we did have a pretty big contingency from our team there. And after, you know, dissecting the video, looking at some stuff, it was for the most part a lot of stuff that we have seen from Flowery Branch, with the exception of maybe a couple of hits here and there. But look, I mean, the fans got to see some of the stuff that we've been seeing, and that being Kirk Cousins, Michael Penix Jr., a lot of those touch passes, obviously the new toys that we're dealing with here on this Falcons offense. And really, I think that was the biggest takeaway for fans, at least, who may be unfamiliar with that. Because, I mean, you look at training camp last year, we were dealing with the Desmond Ridder, Taylor Heinicke training camp. This year, drastically different. And I think that really has been the most noticeable thing, Chris. I think you're able to see the difference in, you know, the passes that these receivers are dealing with, whether that's Drake London or Kyle Pitts. Kirk Cousins specifically is able to get these guys the ball, and that's really the whole reason we went after these guys in the offseason, right, is to utilize all these talents you have on the offense, get them the ball, get them to make plays. And, you know, you see a couple of good hits here and there. I think Drake London may have gotten in the face of DeMarco Helms on one play to it may have been Darnell Mooney. I wasn't quite sure who it was, but he got popped a little bit there in the middle of the field. So it was good to see some pads hitting each other. I haven't seen that quite yet, but yeah, I mean, I think it's good to see. I think the defense still has a little bit of question marks for the fans and the media alike once we see it in action. But big takeaway, I think the offense is looking good, and that's something that we haven't seen in a couple seasons.
Well, you just mentioned the defense and the test that they're going to have this week as the contingency heads down to Miami. What do you think are going to be the biggest matchups you're looking for when the Atlanta Falcon 1 defense goes against the Miami Dolphin 1 offense?
Well, I think the big thing is we're not quite sure who's going to play and who isn't. I think that's going to be the big thing. You know, you may not see your ones versus ones. I think that we may or less see that more on the practice field rather than the actual game. But I really want to see the test this secondary gives the Miami's ones. We know, obviously, how good Miami's offense can be here with guys like Tyreek Hill, Jaylen Waddle, this Mike McDaniel offense. I want to see what the cornerback twos can do, whether that's Mike Hughes, Clark Phillips, guys who I think you could put a big question mark on right now as far as the secondary depth pieces right now. Richie Grant, DeMarco Helms. I think outside of Jesse Bates and A.J. Terrell, there's a lot of uncertainty what this secondary can do here. I think you feel pretty good about your linebacking core, and obviously you get Grady Jarrett, David Onyemata back on that defensive line, Ruka Roro getting some good depth pieces there. But I think the secondary is where I think I want to see the most, I guess, reps, you're going to call it that, against Miami's ones, because that is a very solid test against these guys. Obviously, want to see what Jimmy Lake is bringing to the table with this new defense, kind of transitioning from Ryan Nielsen's scheme last year. But for me, Chris, I think it's going to be a big secondary overwatch, from my opinion or from my perspective out there on the practice field.
Talking with our buddy Miles Garrett from Fox 5 Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Thomas with you until 1 o'clock. Kyle Pitts, what have you seen from him so far? I know the stuff that I've gotten to see firsthand, he looks good, he looks fast, he looks like he's ready to go, making plays. Do you feel like he's going to have that breakout season?
Yeah, to me, I think he's had the best camp out of anyone, really. And I tweeted that the other day. I think a lot of Falcons fans were like, oh, you know, here we go again. I know the fantasy football folks are like, oh, man, we're not going to get tricked into taking Kyle Pitts another time here in the early rounds. But look, I mean, there's a big difference between the Kyle Pitts we've seen the last few years. Obviously, last season he was coming back from a knee injury, and I think it was very visible on the practice field and even in games throughout the season that he was not 100%. And comparing it to that camp last year and then maybe the year before that, dealing with quarterback play, that's obviously another factor. And then his rookie camp when he's still learning the ropes. I think this is the camp that I've seen at least from Kyle Pitts, and I've seen every single one of them so far, is that he looks like he's not thinking as much anymore, especially comparing it to that rookie season where he was at his most healthy and dealing with pretty consistent and decent quarterback play with Matt. I'm starting to see that again just now with that pop and not really thinking about it. I think he looks like he knows where he needs to be. He's operating with that speed and that ability that he was drafted for, frankly. And, you know, obviously dealing with guys like Kirk Cousins, Michael Penix, guys that are brought in to get him the ball along with Drake London. It looks like he's had the best camp so far. There was a really good rep at the practice field just a few days ago where he made a great catch over Jesse Bates, and Raheem Morris went over to him and said, let him know that Madden rating, Kyle. I think Jesse Bates might be one of the top-rated safeties in the game, and Kyle beat him on the rep there. So really excited to see what he can do in game reps, obviously with Kirk Cousins. And, he's been the guy that's really impressed me the most in this camp so far.
Another guy we've seen a large workload from is Bijan Robinson, and Raheem Morris talked about how much he should be used this season earlier before camp got underway. How do you expect them to balance between, you know, the great option that is Bijan out of the backfield versus now having a quarterback that really can push it down the field?
Yeah, I mean, it was the question we had all asked last offseason, right? I mean, it was a luxury pick, you'd think, at the time when you had Tyler Allgeier in that offense who came off a pretty good year. But, you know, we spoke to Zach Robinson a few times earlier this offseason. I think I said it on this show as well. They want to use him in the method that Christian McCaffrey was used, meaning having him all over the field, whether that's out wide, behind the quarterback, obviously, you know, split out next to the quarterback in shotgun. He is all over the field. A lot of motions that they're running. We spoke to Taylor Heinicke, and he talked about how this offense will look different. He mentioned that specifically, kind of the motion sets in Zach Robinson's offense. And I think that'll be a lot different, obviously, than what we saw in Arthur Smith's scheme to get the running backs involved. I know his scheme was heavily involved in the running backs, but Bijan Robinson, we know the kind of talent he is. We said it before, you know, we talk about last year's draft. This was 20 years ago. This is a guy that probably would have been in the conversation to go number one overall, given the nature of the position and how it's changed. But I do expect to see a heavy workload out of him. And again, I know we talk about Bijan. Do not forget about Tyler Allgeier. I think this is a guy they're going to involve heavily as well. I've seen a lot of reps kind of splitting ones with him, but I think it's just going to be an offense, Chris, where they're going to just try to utilize as many playmakers as they can. And I know we said that last year with Arthur Smith and his scheme, but I do think there was an element of quarterback play that kind of held that back.
One thing we haven't seen a lot of is special teams work, specifically the kickoff drill. We saw it on the first day of practice. I can't recall seeing it being worked on another time since. So what type of emphasis do you feel like the team is putting on? Again, I was talking with Joe Patrick yesterday. He said he probably feels like it's something they're doing more behind the scenes. Do you agree with that sentiment?
Yeah, no, we asked them that this week as well, Raheem Morris and some of the other players too. It almost seems like sort of a, okay, like we've done it. We've maybe done some reps and we know who the kick returners are and Ray McLeod, Avery Williams, those guys. But until we see it in action, I think these guys feel the same way. It's all new for them. You know, they've never done this in college. They've never done this in the NFL. I know they've done it in the UFL. I might be wrong there, whether UFL, XFL, I'm not quite sure where they were taking it from. I know it was one of those. But, you know, as we saw in the Hall of Fame game, that was the first time any of us and any of the players saw it themselves and got to act it out. So I think it's going to be one of those, you know, they don't really know for sure until we actually get some reps. I'm going to be excited to see how they do it in the preseason, see how it actually works. I'm just excited to see kick returns return again, you know, because it's with the kickoff rules and having the ball go out of bounds, we haven't really seen it. It's kind of become a lost art. So I'm excited to see that element of the game return and maybe see a new aspect of the game. But, no, we talked about, you know, kind of getting guys involved because, look, in the preseason is when a lot of these late draft picks get their reps and are able to make a name for themselves. So it's going to be very different for them as well. You know, it's going to be a lot more different from how they usually are able to make their impact on the team, on special teams. So going to be huge for them and excited to see how it plays out.
A guy that I'm calling my sleeper pick to make the roster and actually have an impact is sixth-round pick Casey Washington, the wide receiver out of Illinois. I thought he's had a really good camp so far. He's big. He's physical. He looks the part. He catches every ball that's thrown his way. Who's a guy that you might view as a sleeper for yourself?
Well, it's hard to call a sleeper because Casey Washington, obviously being, you know, one of the late-round guys, you know, that's an easy one to call a sleeper. I'd love to call a guy like Braylon Trice or, you know, Ruka Roro, guys, sleepers, but, you know, they were drafted higher for a reason. I really like Jace McClellan, the running back. I know they're very deep, and we've talked about this running back room and, you know, Bijan and Tyler. But, look, this guy made an impact at Alabama for a reason. You know, we've done a couple of questions with Zach Robinson, Raheem Morris, as far as what their impact can be. Kirk Cousins also mentioned the impact that Jace can bring to this offense. I'm excited to see what he can do. I mean, you can never have enough running backs and the substitution packages that you're going to do. I'd really like to see what he can bring to this offense as a whole because, look, like I said, you know, you're going to have substitutions. You're going to have guys make a name for themselves. I think he's going to get a lot of reps in the preseason especially.
Before I let you go, a couple of quick Braves notes here. They're only five back, Miles, and this thing's getting really interesting. What are your thoughts on the last, you know, the home stretch here for the Braves? Is this smoke and mirrors, or do you feel like finally guys like Arcia, Riley, and Olsen are turning it around?
Man, really missed an opportunity to make that four games last night. It was a real close one there.
Yeah.
But, no, I mean, it's something that, again, I've said this on a couple of radio shows, whether that was with you or some other ones too. Baseball is such a long season, Chris. You know, these guys are going to get streaky. These guys are going to get cold. You know, I heard your last segment, you know, Jared Kelenic, he's cold right now. He was hot earlier. It's the ebbs and flows of the game. Now, will this become consistent? I don't know. It's the big question mark because now you got to bring pitching into the equation. That was your consistent thing you were leaning on for a while, but all of a sudden, Reynaldo Lopez, Max Fried have some big question marks behind them. But yeah, you've got guys like you just said, Orlando Arcia, Matt Olson, Austin Riley suddenly raking like we're used to seeing them do. I don't think there's anyone hotter right now than Orlando Arcia. They seem to have turned a corner right now. I think that come-from-behind victory, I believe it was Friday night. I'm getting some of these games confused now. But I think it was Friday night when they came from behind and beat the Marlins. That game itself sort of felt like that retro Braves of last year or the last few years that we've seen, because we haven't really seen that this year. When they're down, they seem to kind of just let them go. That game was huge for them, getting Marcell Ozuna, Orlando Arcia, basically the usual suspects to hit like we've used to seeing them hit. I'm hoping this is the start of something that they're able to rattle some things off and take advantage of Philadelphia being maybe a little bit colder than they usually are. But like you said, it's all about how you finish and how you enter the playoffs. And as we've seen from the last couple of seasons, it doesn't matter how dominant you are in the regular season, that means nothing when the playoffs start.
All right, last one before I let you go as we're wrapping up with Myles Garrett. Make sure you check out his work on Fox 5 covering the Falcons this preseason. Did you like the move of bringing the band back together? Do you think AA could reach into that bag of magic one more time?
Yeah, I mean, I can't say I didn't expect it. I think if Alex Anthopoulos has proven anything as his run as general manager, the moves he makes are usually quiet ones, you know, ones where he's sort of bargain hunting, for lack of a better term there. But getting guys like Jorge Soler, Eddie Rosario, and, you know, all the usual suspects from 2021, bringing those guys back, I think is good for the locker room. I think this team is very underrated when it comes to the locker room chemistry and how important that is to actually winning games. I think that is huge for this team. Whit Merrifield even, I think, has made a pretty big impact thus far. But yeah, I mean, you can talk about the guys who are coming back from injuries, but I think there's a lot of uncertainty there. You know, guys like Ian Anderson and maybe getting a Hurston Waldrop for a call up here. I think there's some questions whether or not those guys will make impacts. But if Ian Anderson can return to his 2021 form, imagine how many questions that'll answer when it comes to this pitching rotation come the postseason. That'll be huge to, you know, basically have your Bryce Elder replacement, for lack of a better term there, or whoever that might be. If Max Fried and Reynaldo Lopez are slowing down a little bit, he will be huge for this team going forward. But it's better than no moves. But, you know, I can't say I'm shocked by the move that AA made.
All right, Myles, appreciate the time. As always, we will see you at the branch.
Absolutely. Good to see you guys.
All right. That is Myles Garrett, Fox 5. Make sure you check out his coverage of the Falcons. And, of course, your main coverage is always going to be right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the only place bringing you exclusive interviews with players, coaches, you name it, we got it covered for you. As a matter of fact, we'll be there bright-eyed and bushy-tailed tomorrow. Practice starts at 9:30 a.m., so your boy will be on a MARTA train at around 7:30 in the morning, as a matter of fact. All right, when we get back, let's do a little NFL sound check, because a lot happened this week. There were some guys yapping that I want you to hear about, specifically maybe a couple of people involving a team that I root for back home in New Jersey. Are they finally just going to shut up and play football? Doesn't sound like it. I'll let you hear what Aaron Rodgers had to say in the latest in an NFL sound check coming up next.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.